Praise God. Let's shout it.
Amen.
He is risen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name forever and ever. Did you know that at the time that Jesus Christ was crucified, at the moment of his death, it says here that the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. The power that was in him that hit hell, that hit death, caused many saints who were already dead to rise up. Isn't that amazing? Ah, praise God. It's so good. I want to give you this morning, by the will of God, 12 points. These are not the only things that relate to the resurrection, so I don't want you to be critical. I just want you to listen to some things that God put on my heart to share with you regarding the resurrection and its significance, both in time and eternity, and especially what it means for you. So, bless the Lord God. We thank you so much. We are, of all people, most privileged. It has been the pleasure of your will, the good pleasure of your will, to save us and to orchestrate the most phenomenal experience in the history of all mankind, which culminates in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to bring salvation to us. We praise you forevermore with everything that is in us, today and forever. Amen. So I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 1 or chapter 2, and we're going to begin to look at some of these aspects of the resurrection. We'll look at verses 23 and 24, rather. Referring to Jesus in verse 23, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. And this is the first point I want you to pay attention to, because it was not possible that he should be held by death. It was impossible that Jesus would be held in death. No powers could keep him there. No demons, not Satan. It was impossible to keep him from being raised. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by his name this man stands before you whole. This is referring to the cripple at the gate of Beautiful, whom Peter and John raised up. They didn't just say Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. The identity of Jesus changed from just Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. This is the most significant initial understanding of Christ as he was preached. Not just Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. The identity of our Lord and Savior is not limited to the cross, but includes the resurrection. The fact that he has overcome the powers of death, and now his identity is the one who has been raised. Acts chapter 10 and verse 40 simply says, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. One of the conflicts over the burial of Jesus Christ and his resurrection was that it was announced by Jesus himself that he would be raised on the third day. And there was fear among the Jews that this would happen. And so they sent soldiers to guard the sepulcher. And of course, we know that they fled. And so the high priest and others paid money to soldiers to say that Jesus' body was stolen and that it was hid away. But to prove that that was not the case, we have this record that he was openly seen by witnesses. And God made sure that that would be the case. Fourth point, Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. It says that Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses, and he was raised because of our justification. The aspects of the cross are not complete. The elements of victory are not fully experienced until there is a resurrection. He went to the cross because of our sin. He was raised to justify us, acquit us, so that we all stand before God free, clean, holy, unblameable. If he was not raised, you are still in your sins. We'll come to that. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says that, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Water baptism is a reproduction of the event that took place at the resurrection. When we receive water baptism, we are identifying with a fact that took place thousands of years ago, that Christ, when he died, we were baptized into him, into his death, raised up with him, so that just as he died, we died. Just as he was raised, we are raised. Christianity is miraculous and supernatural. Everything about it stretches the faculties of reason. There is no possible way you can reason any of the truths that are explained about Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. It is not something we apprehend with the mind. We do not have faculties capable of understanding the supernatural. That's why it's supernatural. The only thing we can do is through the element of the Spirit receive these truths by faith, that supernaturally God has completed these acts and we are the benefactors of it. Christ has done these things with us, to us, for us, and now we are blessed by it. Praise his name forever. Romans 6, 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. And if it has no dominion over him, we who are in him also can say death has no power over us. Or as in 1 Corinthians 15, where is the sting of death? There is none anymore. You know, Satan threatens all people with the fear of death. And when Jesus defeated him, he defeated the one who all the days long threatened people with the fear of death. Mankind is afraid of death now. More afraid of death than at any time in my own lifespan. I see more advertisements for some type of potion to bring healing to us, whether it's medications or devices or surgeries or who knows what, because the human population is threatened with death, more so than at any time. And you can manipulate people with fear of death. You can get them to do things, buy things, become fearful of their own life. And what is happening today is a shame because people are afraid of death. But the solution, when I say the fear of death, every man, all men will die. It's appointed unto all men once to die and then the resurrection. There will be those who are resurrected to eternal life and those who will not be. And so death will come to all men, natural death and spiritual death, and they will cease at some point in existence. While the fires of hell are said to burn forever, that doesn't mean that people burn forever, because God has the power to destroy both the body and the soul in hell, and there will be destruction and elimination of people. So some will pass out of existence, but not us.
Praise God forevermore for that. The moment that death will occur to all of us, we will slip from a conscious awareness of our physical state to a conscious awareness of our supernatural state. While we will not have the same body, we will still be alive. Cessation of life will not stop. Romans 8. And this is because of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 11 says this. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This could be amplified so deeply. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. It's also said that God the Father raised him from the dead. But here's the thing you must understand. Any act that God does, he does not separate himself from his being three in one. You follow that? We have taught this over and over again. We cannot separate God. According to John 14, this is very important. And so the Spirit of that raised Jesus, the Holy Spirit that raised him, whom we have received, now dwells in us as the assurance. We have assurance in us right now that we will live at the very moment that the mortal life ceases. Because at that time, the power of the Holy Spirit will be able to quicken our or give life to our mortal bodies. We know from 1 Corinthians 15, which I'll touch on again, that we're going to get another body. But be assured of this. Right now, those believers who have received the Holy Spirit have life in them, eternal life. You have eternal life in you already, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ha! Ha! Who can say that but us? What a wonderful guarantee. Romans 10:9. This is a very famous quotation. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Your salvation, your confession of your salvation includes an acknowledgement and a statement that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Not just went to the cross, because the continuous work of the cross is his resurrection. And our faith is based upon the confession that we can say Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I don't think that that is stressed enough, to be quite honest with you. At the time that people come to Christ, often they're told many wonderful things about the Savior that they are receiving. But when we receive the Savior into our lives, we receive eternal life because of the resurrection. And I think it's important as we share the gospel of Jesus to others that we'll be clear in letting them know how important the resurrection is to their faith. First Corinthians 15, 17. We're going to jump over there. Hallelujah. If Christ, verse 17, is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Wow. If you only believe in the cross, you haven't gone far enough. The cross is the beginning of a continuous act that includes his death, his carrying away your sins, and carrying you and me away with him. We were crucified with him, buried with him, raised with him. And if we don't include all of that, there's a futility to our faith if he did not raise. If we can only say he went to the cross, praise God, we must also believe that he was raised because that's where our faith. Wow, the power of the resurrection is so extraordinary. We'll go back to Romans 8 and verse 34. I know I'm taking you here and there and everywhere, but I think When I sat down and asked the Lord to show me what is it he wanted to stress for this particular Resurrection Sunday, these verses came, bam, like rat-tat-tat-tat, just like that. So I believe these are all what God wanted us to hear today. And I pray that they are valuable to you. Romans 8, 34. Who is he who condemns us? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The power of the resurrection to raise Jesus to the right hand of God. Now he is there making intercession for us as our great high priest. Praise his holy name. We have to realize that this is the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ, the priest king. There are actually two aspects of God making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit in us is also making intercession for us, along with intercession for us within us, as Jesus on the throne is making intercession for us there before the Father. Love that. Am I on the 11th one? I think so. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says this. This is an event that's going to take place in the future that we can look forward to. Knowing this, that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. All right. I want to take you also to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22 so you see the continuation of this truth. Colossians 1, 22. Says that in the body of his flesh, referring to Jesus, through death will present us holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. So I want you to see this picture. There will be a time when all of us are presented to the Father by Jesus Christ, who will stand there with us, with the Apostle Paul and others, and will present us to the Father blameless, without fault, holy. I can't imagine what that sight's going to be like. Can you? That we will stand there before God the Father in this perfect condition with the great intercessor of our lives, Jesus. I don't care what you have done, what I have done. If we end up having faith in our Lord for what he has done and then live accordingly, oh my Lord, what we can look forward to. Lastly, Ephesians 2. Verses 6 and 7. We have been raised up together, and he has made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Again, this is a supernatural act. I remember being taught this truth many, many years ago by some great teachers, Bob Mumford for one. And he used to say, can you imagine the body of Christ with its feet on this earth, yet its head in the heavens with Christ, he said, to help us have an illustration that we could think of. That we would be seated there in heavens with Jesus Christ already. Again, our supernatural state and status where we are is seated in the heavens, reigning with him. The feet of the body of Christ on the enemy, all the enemies of our Lord. And in this position, he is going to begin to show us in the ages to come the great things he wants to reveal to us. There's so much more. People say, I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven. Well, I tell you what, love, heaven's in us already. It's impossible to keep us there. You follow? And we will be seated with him, reigning with him in worlds without end, ages without end. I have no idea what that is going to be like. But if God is making us aware that the blessings are going to be there, then they're going to be there. They are going to be there. And if in this world we have hope only, we are of all men most miserable. If we cannot see eternity as the value of our salvation, we have short-sighted our lives. We have truncated them. We see only the blessings of God in a limited time span. The resurrection is a guarantee of eternal life. Much more to come. We are living in a flicker of existence compared to eternity. And for some of us, we think more about eternity than others. When I was 50 years old, the thought hardly ever reached my mind. When I was 70, maybe. Now, some years later, a decade, 12 years more, I come to realize that life is very precious and more meaningful than ever before because we are living in the already and the not yet. Eternity is in us already, but not yet fully experienced. But we will experience it. What God has prepared for us, only the Holy Spirit can show us. And He will show it as we seek Him for the things that we should know in this present life as well as in our future life. I cannot tell you what that will be because I don't know it. But the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal it. We are going to reign like we have never reigned before. The church has been weak. It has suffered a lot of disappointment because of it. But if we realize how powerful we really are in Christ, what the resurrection means, how it can be preached, how it can be lived, the same power that raised Jesus dwells in us. I have meditated on that one for my own healing. If the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, has the power to quicken him and draw back all of the cells and molecules of his life and make them whole enough for him to stand on this earth, if that power is dwelling in me and you, is it possible then that the Holy Spirit can bring healing to you? Is it possible that he can be your healer, your indwelling healer? And does that not give more meaning to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we call them gifts, which are really manifestations of the Spirit dwelling in us, who expresses the healing, life-giving power that is resident in God? It can manifest in us and through us to others in what are called demonstrations or manifestations of healings and miracles. If the world is as sick as it is, then I would say that a solution to the world is to give them the answer of Jesus Christ as healer. And those who are afraid of death, to give them solution that eternal life is in the Holy Spirit, whom they can receive if they receive Jesus Christ. There's a lot of hope yet available both to the body of Christ and to the lost. We're going to come to the communion table again this morning. And as we declared last Sunday, that there should be healing that would come forth when we partake of the elements. Today again, I pray that healing will come forth into your bodies, and your minds, your souls, physically and emotionally, so that you'll know the resurrection of power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. We're going to bring the table over. Lord God, we celebrate the covenant we have with you in the broken body that was given and offered up on our behalf at the cross, in the blood of the covenant which was shed for the remission of our sins, but to confirm the covenant that we have now with you, and that we can partake again today to remind us of what you did for us. As you said, do this in remembrance of me. We come today to remember you, not just in the small ways that we have constantly thought about, but in much larger dimension, that our salvation be increased today, that you minister to our thought life, to our spirits and souls, depths of truth about this reality, and that you also empower healings in our bodies today. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. So please come as you will.